Thank you very much, Mr. Sandquist. Happy Sabbath to everyone. It's great to see all here. We've got a nice full house. All the tables are filled, and we're even spilling into the overflow room. We're spilling into the overflow room, and it's great to see the Sandquist here. I know that sometimes they've, you know, when you catch COVID, sometimes it turns into long COVID, and that particular virus can last a long time sometimes. So it's great to see you here, and even leading songs and singing. I did see him singing, so that's great. It's great to see you guys here. So we do have a Bible study format for the first portion of services today. So this is a Bible study format, and I'd just like to start by saying that next month, so I'm taking the Bible study for this month for December. For next month in January, we've got the Bible study will be given to us by Mr. Jacobs. So I'm looking forward to that very much. And there is a little box over there. It's called Bible study questions. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to just jot them down, stick them in the box, and Mr. Jacobs can get those addressed for next month for January. So for this month, for December, I'm happy to take care of the Bible study, the general Bible study. And so I am answering a question that was dropped in the box. And this is a great question. It's actually a twofold question, but it's really on the same, it's on the same subject. So the question that was dropped in the Bible study box is, does the rapture exist? Does the rapture exist? And then the second part of this question is the word rapture in the Bible? So does the rapture exist? Is the word rapture in the Bible? So the rapture theory has really become a very popular theory amongst many Christians today, mainly in the evangelical community. Evangelical Christians, many of them wholeheartedly believe in this rapture theory. There's also many Baptists, Southern Baptists, that have embraced this rapture theory, and even some Pentecostals embrace this rapture theory. So this rapture theory, for those who aren't familiar with what this is, the rapture theory teaches that Jesus Christ is going to secretly return, and he's going to rapture up believers, or those who have been saved, those who have accepted the Lord, and rapture them up into heaven, where they will be protected from the great tribulation. Okay, so that's the rapture theory in a nutshell, that Jesus Christ is going to secretly return. This rapture is going to include millions of different individuals, and that's where believers will be protected during the great tribulation. So that's the theory that it is out there. So let me just start out by saying that the rapture theory is exactly that. It is just a theory. So I want to start the Bible study off being very plain about that. Neither Jesus Christ did not teach the rapture theory. The apostles did not teach the rapture theory. The rapture theory is actually a relatively new idea and concept. The rapture is not scriptural, and it does not have scriptural support. So I just want to start out by saying that. And really, the rapture theory is a very piecemeal approach. And what I mean by that, it just grabs bits and pieces of Bible prophecy and kind of puts them all together into a bit of an inaccurate mess. So that's the rapture theory in a nutshell. So for the Bible study today, I want to take a look at this rapture theory. Does a rapture exist? Is the word rapture in the Bible? So I want to start by taking a look at the background of the rapture theory. You know, where did it come from? What type of mindset, Christian mindset, what environment did this rapture theory emerge from? And then how did it become so popular today? So I want to talk briefly about these Left Behind series. There's some books and movies called Left Behind. They have really driven the popularity of this rapture theory that we see today. And then I want to conclude by taking a look at two scriptures. There's two scriptures that are often cited by many, mainly evangelical Christians. They cite these to support the rapture theory. So I want to dig in to these scriptures, and we'll take a look and see if they are actually talking about the rapture or not. So that's the outline for the Bible study this afternoon on the rapture theory. So does the rapture exist? Well, where did it come from? Where did this rapture theory come from? I think if we take a look at the environment from which this rapture theory comes from, it will explain why it is so inaccurate. It was started by a gentleman named John Nelson Darby. John Nelson Darby. And he was a minister in England, and he taught in the middle of the 19th century. He was very influential, and he influences even ministry today. His ministry is the basis for this modern rapture theory. It comes from John Nelson Darby. So it's only a couple hundred years old, this theory. So John Nelson Darby was a dispensationalist. He believed in dispensationalism. And if you ever run across or study the rapture theory, you will run into this term, dispensationalism. Well, what is dispensationalism? I didn't just make that word up. It sounds like a made-up word, but it's actually real. So those who are dispensationalists believe that the Bible is broken up into different eras, that Bible history is broken up into different eras or dispensations. So what dispensationalists believe is that the Bible starts out in the era of the Garden of Eden. And then the next dispensation or era is the dispensation of the patriarchs. You know, you got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the time of the patriarchs. And then the next dispensation or era is the time of the Mosaic Law. You know, and so on and so forth. So they break Bible history down into dispensations or different eras. And this is what John Nelson Darby believed. Now, here's where this theory really goes sideways. So John Nelson Darby believes that we're in the era today. Dispensationalists believe that we are today living in the era of grace. So we are living in the era of grace in the Bible, the dispensation of grace. And so what dispensationalists believe is that God interacts differently and expects different things from different eras, from humanity. So what dispensationalists believe is that we, living in the era of grace, are not obligated to the era of the patriarchs or the Mosaic Law. We're not obligated to keep things like the Ten Commandments because that's in a different dispensation. So they compartmentalize that way. So what John Nelson Darby, who pushed and came up with this teaching of the rapture theory, he was a dispensationalist. He didn't believe that we had to keep God's law. And this is the Christian environment from which the rapture theory begins to emerge. He was a dispensationalist. And we see this in the evangelical movement even today. So we see much of this dispensationalist theory in Christianity today. So let me just pause there and just say that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. We all know that scripture from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. God is the same, whether it's the era of Abraham, whether it's the era of Moses, whether it's the era of the end times. God does not change. And God's spiritual laws are good. Doesn't matter what era we are living in. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So John Nelson Darby was a dispensationalist, and we see a lot of that today in Christianity. So the rapture theory emerges from this environment. Now the rapture theory breaks the return of Jesus Christ into two phases. So there's two phases to the return of Jesus Christ, according to the rapture theory. So phase one of the rapture theory explains that Jesus Christ will secretly return at an unexpected time. Jesus Christ is going to secretly return. at an unexpected time to rapture or snatch up believers and take them to heaven. Millions of Christians will vanish from the earth in a moment. Millions of Christians are just going to vanish. Immediately following this rapture, the Antichrist then is scheduled to appear and beginning a seven-year great tribulation. Okay, this is according to the rapture theory. So the rapture theorists believe that the great tribulation is going to last for 7 years. We know that that's very inaccurate. We know clearly from the book of Daniel, from the book of Revelation, that the great tribulation lasts for 3.5 years. It's a time, a times and half a time, or 1260 days, we'll read about as well. So they get a lot of these truths of Bible prophecy, but they get them very inaccurately put together. So after this great tribulation, or during the great tribulation, believers will be protected in heaven, is what rapture theorists believe. That Christians will be protected in heaven, not here on this earth. So they get a tremendous amount of information wrong in this phase one of the rapture theory. You know, we do know that there is a place of safety, but it's here on this earth. So the rapture theory gets a tremendous amount of inaccuracies wrong in phase one. Now, phase two of the rapture theory is when Jesus Christ returns with the saints, and Jesus Christ returns in triumph and glory, and he begins then the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. So the rapture theory breaks the return of Jesus Christ down into two different phases. Now, we know that there is two comings of Jesus Christ. We know that from Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. You don't have to turn there. We're very familiar with it. But Jesus Christ came the first time in the flesh, right? To live his life in the flesh. He's going to come one more time. He's going to have a second coming. And that's when he returns visibly, unmistakably. Every nation will see him. He's going to return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we see two comings of Jesus Christ. There is no three. The rapture theorists believe that there are three comings of Jesus Christ, but that is just inaccurate, very inaccurate. So this modern rapture theory has become very popular. There's many evangelicals that wholeheartedly, they believe in this rapture theory. They're waiting for this moment to happen. How did it become so popular today? Well, there's some books and movies that have really promoted this rapture theory, and they're called Left Behind. They're called Left Behind. There's a series of books. There's some movies. I know the early ones were starring, I think, Kirk Cameron. There's some later ones starring Nicolas Cage where it promotes this rapture theory, and the title is Left Behind because you don't want to be left behind and suffer through this great tribulation. So I'm not encouraging anyone to watch any of these movies. They are incredibly inaccurate when it comes to Bible prophecy. But I did watch one because I felt like I needed to educate myself to how many Christians view the rapture today. So I did watch one movie from Left Behind, and it was starring Nicolas Cage. And I'll describe a little bit of it to you. Because I want to explain some of the themes that are associated with the rapture that are also very inaccurate. So in this movie, I watched the 2014 version of Left Behind, starring Nicolas Cage. And this is the description of the movie. It's 2014. It's categorized as a sci-fi thriller, science fiction thriller. And it is fiction. And it's starring Nicolas Cage. The entire planet is thrown into mayhem when millions of people disappear without a trace. All that remains are their clothes and belongings. Unmanned vehicles crash. Planes fall from the sky, overwhelming emergency forces and causing massive gridlock, riots, and chaos. Airline pilot Ray Steele, who is played by Nicolas Cage, And he's great. He's this cool, calm, he's Nicolas Cage, right? He's a good actor. So he's this cool, calm, collected pilot, commercial pilot. Airline pilot Ray Steele struggles to save the lives of the passengers who remain on his flight, while his daughter races to find her brother and mother, both of whom have disappeared. They've been raptured. So I did watch a little. I did watch this movie. I'm not encouraging anyone to watch the movie, but I do want to describe it for a moment. So in this movie, Left Behind, Nicolas Cage is flying a commercial airplane, and he's flying from the United States over to Europe. So he's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and he's in the cockpit, and he's flying this plane, and next to him is his co-pilot. And all of a sudden, they're flying this plane, and boom. Nicolas Cage looks over, and his co-pilot is gone, just vanishes out of thin air in a moment. And Nicolas Cage is trying to figure this out. His name is Ray Steele in the movie. And he looks in the co-pilot's seat, and there's his clothes, his pants, his shirt, his hat, his personal effects, his wallet is laying there, his watch, and he picks up his watch, and his watch, the face of the co-pilot's watch says John 3:16 on it, which he deduces something from that later on in the movie. So the watch face is John 3:16 on it. But that's all that's left. And Nicolas Cage is trying to figure out what just happened to his co-pilot. Well, meanwhile, in the back of the plane, dozens of passengers have vanished. They're gone. In the middle of a plane, in the middle of the air, flying across the Atlantic, they just vanish, and all that's left is their clothes. All the children are gone. So rapture theorists believe that Jesus Christ is going to rapture up all children, approximately ages 12 and under. So in this movie, which is not scriptural, this is a movie I'm describing, okay? It's a movie I'm describing. I just want to be clear. So there's dozens of kids missing, and the parents are just distraught. There's a mother that is holding her baby, and then the rapture happens, and her baby disappears, and she's left holding a onesie. And so you can imagine how distraught the parents and the whole plane is, just in chaos. Well, Nicolas Cage, and I do like Nicolas Cage. He's a fantastic actor. He's cool, calm, collected. He tries to deduce what's happened. You know, how did this just happen? So he starts to collect the effects of the adults who have disappeared. And he starts to realize they were religious people. You know, they had Bibles and they were in Bible studies. And it starts to dawn on him, and he comes to the conclusion that they were just raptured and he has been left behind. So that's his conclusion. Now, he is married to a wonderful lady who is played by Leah Thompson. She plays Nicolas Cage's wife. Leah Thompson's a great actress. She was the mother of, she was in the Back to the Future movies, the mother of Michael J. Fox in the Back to the Future movies. So she's a great actress as well. She's not on the plane. She does get raptured. But she spent a lot of time preaching to her husband that the rapture was going to take place. And he'd better accept the Lord or he's going to be left behind. And so she was constantly preaching religion to her family. And there's one scene where Leah Thompson is talking to her college-age daughter saying, you need to accept the Lord. And her daughter just gets frustrated and storms out of the room. She's like, I'm tired of you trying to cram religion down my throat, basically, is what happens in this scene. But that is a major theme of the Left Behind movies, that Christians are obligated to convert and to get as many people to accept the Lord or they will be left behind. And we know that today is not the only day of salvation, but dispensationalists believe that we must convert everyone right now, or they will be left behind. But we know God's plan is God's people. We know that today is not the only day of salvation. God does have a beautiful plan. Nobody's getting left behind. And in that plan, everyone gets a fair opportunity to follow his way of life. And so we don't go around pushing religion on people today as God's people, because it doesn't matter how many scriptures you can throw at someone. It doesn't matter how good your arguments are. If God doesn't open their mind, if God isn't doing the calling, they can't see, because we live in an age where the truth has been blinded. Satan, the devil, has blinded the whole world. And it takes God unlocking that mind. So we know we don't have to behave like Leah Thompson and try to constantly convert everyone to accept the Lord. But these are some of the major themes in this movie called Left Behind, is that we must convert as many folks as possible so that they do not have to suffer through the Great Tribulation. So these Left Behind series, they're written by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins, and they have really popularized. Many evangelical Christians wholeheartedly believe in this rapture theory because of these books and movies that are so popular today. But they are incredibly inaccurate. Let me just say, they are categorized as sci-fi thrillers, and they are fiction. They are not biblical. So rapture theorists will cite two scriptures, mainly two scriptures, to support the rapture theory. Let's take a look at these. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's go to verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's go to verse 16 and 17. Now, verse 17 is really the heart and core of the foundation of the rapture theory. You know, there's a gentleman named C.I. Scofield who wrote a reference Bible, and he actually put some commentary citing the rapture at this portion of Scripture. Well, let's take a look. Is this describing the rapture? Or would that be taking Scripture out of context? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's go to verse 16. We'll read verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. This is verse 16. With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So here we see a description of, that final seventh trumpet, when Jesus Christ returns, and simultaneously, the first resurrection takes place. Well, rapture theorists will cite these two words, caught up, in verse 17, where it reads, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. These two words, caught up, are what rapture theorists believe refer to the rapture. Now, in the Latin, the Latin root word of these two words, caught up, is rapere. It's R-A-P-E-R-E, R-A-P-E-R-E. So what many Christians have derived is they've derived this word rapture from this Latin root word. But it means, it's translated as caught up. And we don't see the word rapture anywhere in the Bible. There is no, from Genesis to Revelation, you will not find the word rapture in the Bible. It is translated as caught up. So is this talking about a rapture of millions of individuals and children? Is this talking about a secret rapture? Well, let's get some context. We need to take a look at the context. So let's get context for what Paul is talking about here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's back it up to verse 13, and let's take a look at the context of what Paul is trying to convey to those in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 4, and let's back it up to verse 13, as we take a look at the context. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So here, Paul is comforting those in Thessalonica who are grieving. They're grieving the loss of a recent death in the congregation. And Paul is saying, we don't need to grieve like the rest of the world grieves. Have hope. There is a first resurrection. So his whole purpose for this portion of Scripture is to comfort those who are grieving. That's the context. Let's continue on in verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. So he's talking about the first resurrection. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, this is really the point that Paul is trying to make. He says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul is trying to comfort those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. He's saying, hey, you're going to see them again. They're going to be in that first resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ when that seventh trumpet blasts. That's the point of this scripture. So there is no references to the rapture here. There's no reference to the rapture of millions of individuals who call upon the Lord before the great tribulation. So there is no scriptural support for the rapture here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17. Okay, now let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 40. This is the other scripture that is oftentimes cited to defend the rapture theory. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, and let's go to verse 40. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 40. So Matthew chapter 24, of course, is the Olivet prophecy. And we know that Christ makes many prophecies about the end times throughout Matthew chapter 24. And then when we get to towards the end of the chapter, Christ begins to send out a warning. He says, hey, you need to be sober-minded because of these things that are going to take place. Be watchful, be sober-minded, be ready spiritually. So let's go to Matthew chapter 24 and let's go to verse 40. We'll read verses 40 and 41. Then, verse 40, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Verse 41, two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. So rapture theorists will say, well, this is describing the rapture. You know, one's going to be taken and the other one's going to be left behind. They'll throw that word in there. They'll be left behind. Well, is this describing a secret rapture that takes place? Is that the context of these scriptures? We have to take these scriptures into context. So let's get some context. What is Jesus Christ talking about here? Is he talking about a secret rapture? Let's back it up to verse 36. What's the point of this whole section of scripture? Let's put it into context. Let's go to Matthew 24, back it up to verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So Christ says, when I return, only Jesus Christ knows. Nobody knows the time, the day, the hour. Only God the Father knows the exact time of the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 38, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know, verse 39, until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of, or will be the, will the coming of the Son of Man be. So here Jesus Christ is explaining that before I return, it's going to be like the time before Noah. You know, everyone at that time was just going around their regular routine, completely oblivious to the fact that the flood was about to take place. And so he's saying, be aware. Be aware. I'm telling you ahead of time. Be ready. Don't be caught off guard. That's the whole purpose of this section of scripture. He says, be ready, be aware. Don't be caught off guard like those before the flood. They were unprepared. Verse 40, he continues, and then he says, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Some will be prepared and some will not be prepared. Verse 42, Christ continues. He says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this in verse 43, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So he's saying, watch, be sober-minded, be watching, be prepared. And verse 44, here he concludes and summarizes this whole section of scripture. He says, therefore, you also be ready. And that's the point. He's saying, be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So that's the purpose. That's the context of these scriptures. Be ready. Be prepared. Be spiritually prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. So is this talking about a secret rapture of millions of individuals and children and believers? Absolutely not. That would be taking scriptures out of context. And these are the two scriptures that are mainly cited to support this rapture theory, is Matthew chapter 24, 40, and of course, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. But when we look at them and put them into context, we can see there is no description of the rapture there. That would be unscriptural to say that the rapture theory comes from those portions of scripture. So I want to describe briefly, as we conclude here, the chronology of the return of Jesus Christ according to scripture. Because if we go through the timeline of the return of Jesus Christ, we can see how it varies greatly from the rapture theory. So here is the chronology of Christ's return according to scripture. It starts with the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. We read in Matthew chapter 24 that there will be wars. There will be famines. There's going to be false religion. There's going to be dispensationalism. There's going to be natural disasters in various places. That's the beginning of sorrows. And we see that all around us today. We see the beginning of these sorrows. Next in the chronology of Christ's return, we see the Great Tribulation begins. The Great Tribulation, it's a 3.5-year period of war and suffering. It's a time that Jeremiah describes as the time of Jacob's trouble, where the descendants of Israel and God's people will suffer greatly. It will be a time of difficulty, and it lasts for 3.5 years. We know that very clearly from Scripture. We do know that there is a place of safety. Some of God's people will be protected during this 3.5 years. Others will be persecuted for 3.5 years. We also know the two witnesses will be preaching during this time, this 3.5-year period. But that place of safety will not be in heaven. We know it's on earth. We know that from the book of Revelation. Not in heaven, it's on earth. Next, after the Great Tribulation, comes the day of the Lord. God begins to directly intervene in man's affairs. You know, God says, you've had your time, you've messed it all up, and now it's time for me to intervene in man's affairs as the seven trumpets begin to sound. Next, Christ descends from heaven. At the seventh trumpet blast, at the seventh and final trumpet blast, Jesus Christ, surrounded by his angelic armies, is seen descending on the clouds. Every nation will see him. Every eye will see him. It will be unmistakable when Jesus Christ returns. Simultaneously, the dead in Christ will rise. At the same final seventh trumpet blast, God's people who have died will be resurrected. Together with those who are alive, they are transformed into spiritual beings and meet Jesus Christ in the air. Next, Jesus Christ stands on the Mount of Olives. His feet land on the Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives splits in two, cracks in half. Jesus Christ touches down in Jerusalem and begins ruling the earth as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. Next, in the return of Jesus Christ, the chronology, the millennium begins. The millennium begins. Having easily defeated the armies of earth, Jesus Christ and his glorified saints rule for 1,000 years. You and I, as God's first fruits, we rule for 1,000 years, transforming this world into utopia, peace, prosperity. We will then preach God's word, and with Satan locked away and the blinders taken off, humanity will be happy to hear about God's way of life. And we will rule with Jesus Christ during the millennium. So that's the chronology of the return of Jesus Christ according to Scripture. And we can see how that greatly differs from that of the rapture theory. So that's a true chronology of Christ's return. Well, the rapture theory is just that. It's a theory. Jesus Christ did not teach the rapture. The apostles never taught the rapture. And the word rapture is not found anywhere in Scripture. The rapture theory and the left behind books and movies are, they do leave something behind, and that's God's truth. They leave the truth behind. The biblical truth is that there is no rapture. The rapture theory and the left behind science fiction movies bring biblical accounts in a piecemeal manner. They just grab bits and pieces of Bible prophecy and they jumble them up together into a big mess. Those who study the Bible carefully do not accept the rapture theory. The truth is in our Bible. It's not in a science fiction thriller movie or book. What needs to be left behind is the rapture theory itself.